I'd like to read for you from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55. Isaiah the prophet writes, "Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time now that we have to spend in your word. I pray that you would lead us and guide us, and that we would hear from you. Help us to push aside the clutter of our busyness and hear that still small voice which you speak to each one of us. May we hear from you, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It probably happens at least once a week where someone will say to me, or will ask me, or will have a question for me that goes something like this: "Didn't Jesus say, 'Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you'? Doesn't the God's word tell us that?" And then before I can get an answer out, there will be a response that God's just not answering my prayers. He's not hearing me. And he's not answering. What is wrong with God that he does not answer my prayers? I've been praying for my husband and his drinking problem for years, and my husband refuses to stop drinking. Or replace the drinking with gambling. Or replace the gambling with, he's a workaholic, or whatever. All you have to do is interchange a couple words, and it says, everyone pretty well says the same thing. I've been praying and praying and praying, and God is not answering. What is God's problem? What is God's problem? I've been praying for my wife's depression, and she just does not seem to come out of it. What is God's problem? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? I've counseled people over and over and over again with this particular mystery and agony of unanswered prayer. Some of us sitting here this morning perhaps have given up on God because he has not answered my prayer or our prayers. You say, what's the purpose? What's the use? I prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happens. It's just like I get a busy signal and there's no response. Well, I thought this morning in the time that we have left to just go through a very simple outline. It's not original with me. I heard it at a conference that I was at a number of years ago at Willow Creek, and the speaker there gave us this very simple outline on dealing with unanswered prayer. And I've used this simple outline many times in my counseling sessions with people as we try to ascertain, is God not hearing our prayers? Is God not answering our prayers? If so, what's going on? And so I'd like us to just deal with that this morning. The first point that I want to make, well, actually, I'll give you the whole outline right off the bat. What do we do if our requests we ask are wrong? Or what do we do if the timing of those requests are wrong? What do we do if the problem is with us and we're wrong? Or what if the request is right and God says, okay, let's go? So let's look at the first one. If the request is wrong, then God will say no. All right? If the request that we're praying is wrong, then God will say no. And it might not be a verbal no. It may be just an understanding that we have after we've prayed for many, many times over and over again, perhaps months, years, that perhaps the request that I'm asking is wrong. But if the request is wrong, God will say no. And there are wrong requests to make. There are inappropriate requests that are made. I've heard people buying those lottery tickets and praying to God that they'd be a winner. Well, friends, that's inappropriate prayer. God will not grant that prayer. That's a wrong request to ask for a winning lottery ticket. Sorry to break your bubble, but God's not committed to gambling, and he's not committed to making your life easier because of giving you a whole dump truck load of money. All right? So that's a wrong, inappropriate request to pray to God. There's evidence of that in the Bible. Not of buying lottery tickets, obviously, but of making wrong requests. There were a couple of Jesus' disciples, James and John. They were his favorite. And so they went and asked Jesus, can we have the seats on either side of you, one on the right and one on the left? Well, Jesus, in a very tactful manner, said, that's inappropriate to ask that. So don't ask. That's a wrong request. So that's an inappropriate prayer request to ask for something like that. Then there was another time where the disciples were traveling along and they were not permitted to go into Samaria. And that denial aggravated them to the point where they said to Jesus, bring down hell, fire, and brimstone upon this region and destroy it with fire from heaven. Well, Jesus' response to that was, well, no, I didn't come here to torch people. I came to transform people. And I'm not going to honor that request. That was inappropriate. You see the point I'm making? We do and have a tendency to make wrong requests. The disciples were fully capable of making inappropriate requests, as are we. We too make inappropriate requests. I have and do make inappropriate requests. And I probably will continue to do that because of my humanness and my tendency to think of my agenda and things that pertain to me and having a focal point on me and not on the bigger picture. And if I'm capable of doing that, guess what? So are you. So, sorry to break your bubble, but that's the reality today. Because I'm capable of making requests of God that are patently materialistic, or convenience-oriented, or short-sighted, and even immature. that we make some of those mistakes. And, you know, it doesn't affect God's love for us, but he's not going to say yes to those inappropriate requests. His answer will be, sorry, no. Very simply, no. And we need to accept that. By hindsight, I thank God for saying no in some instances. There's some instances after the fact that I have seen what has developed and what has come about that I'm thanking God that I wasn't in the midst of all that, because I could have been had I gone my own way. And so that's where we thank God for 20/20 hindsight, when we look back and we realize that the request that I made was not appropriate. So if you have been praying diligently about a matter, and if you have sensed resistance, or you have had no response whatsoever, then I would say you should review your request. You should look at it a little closer, and perhaps it is not appropriate. Maybe the request is self-serving. Maybe the request is short-sighted. Maybe the request is too small. Maybe God has something bigger and better in mind, and he's saying no to this because there's something bigger and better down the road for you. So if the requests are wrong, then you have to expect God to say no. Well, maybe the timing is wrong. The timing is wrong. And then God will say, go slow, if it's not the right time. Now, one of the things I remember of being parent of small children is there was a word that came very quickly once they started to become mobile, and that two-letter word was no. 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 Because you didn't want them to hurt themselves, and so they said no. But then as they got a little bit older, and they got sort of beyond the no, the next couple of words that came about was not yet. Not yet. We lived in Winnipeg when we had our first two children, and we traveled here to Ontario to visit with family. Then we had our third child up in Sault Ste. Marie, and we still traveled down here to southern Ontario to visit with family. And there wasn't a trip that we ever made where one of them didn't say within the first 10, 15 minutes of leaving our house in Winnipeg or Sault Ste. Marie, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And what you would say, not yet. Not yet. And that would be over and over and over. And I am so envious of you parents who have small children and have those little videos, players in the car to entertain your children and get their minds off the long distance. We didn't have that. All we had was books and toys. And, you know, it was always fun when we stopped at the rest stop or something, opened the doors and everything would fall out all over the parking lot. But not yet is what God says to us sometimes. If the timing isn't right in our prayer requests, then God has no problem with saying to us, not yet. Not yet. And it's essential for us to realize, just as children get all wrapped up in time and having things right away, that there's a little bit of a child in us as well, you know. And when we pray to God, we want our answers immediately, don't we? We don't want to wait. We don't want there to be a process involved. We want to make our request known to God, and we want him to answer right away. And we do not like it when God says not yet to us, because our tendency is no, now. I need it now. And you know, we're no different than those little 2, 3, 4, or 5 year olds who say, no, I want it now. Because we approach God often in the same way. When we make our request, we want immediate answers, thinking that we know best what we need, and so give it to us now. And You know, it's not an appropriate response that we make to God. Because we often say in our prayers, as we pray to God, I bring this to you, but I want it now. I want it now. And it needs to be known that God is no more intimidated by our childish fixation or instant gratification than on our parents with their kids. You know, parents have a sense of timing and of patience, and they have no problem saying not yet to their children. And same with God. He has no problem, and he's not intimidated by our demands, saying, I need this, I want this right now, right this instant. How essential it is, though, for us to understand that God's delays are not necessary God's denials. If he's saying it's not right now, it doesn't mean no. It means hang in there. You're in the process. And so take it slow. Take it one day at a time. It's not quite time yet. Trust me. Know what I'm doing because I have my reasons. Those are my paraphrase of a number of scriptures. But God said in that passage I read to you in Isaiah 55, my ways are higher than your ways. All right? That's God's priority. And his ways are higher than our ways. He has the understanding we don't. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We need to remember we're the created. He is the creator. All right? The creator has dibs on knowing what's best for us, not the created. All right? Even when you had children, they came to you and they said, well, I need this and I need it right now. And you say, well, no, not yet. You're not old enough, or it's, you know, other things going on. And, you know, as parents, what would happen if you gave your kids everything they needed or everything they demanded whenever they demanded it? You know, you'd have a person that is totally out of control. Because they have an expectation of immediate gratification. And that's part of our problem in our world today. Because of the internet, because of the speed of information, we have this thing thinking that we should have things as soon as we snap our fingers. And God, we need to be reminded, God is the one in control. You know, maybe we think we can push the delete button, but he's the ultimate one that'll push the delete button or the reboot button or whatever. Do we understand that? If the timing is wrong, God will say, go slow. Well, why does he say go slow? Well, because he is committed to the process of helping us develop and mature and become better people. And to deal with issues like character. You know, character is a bygone aspect in today's world, it seems like. But in God's world, character is very important. And when you think that we are image bearers of the Son of God, we bear His image in the world, you can see and understand why God is committed to developing character. Because he wants you to proclaim and show to the world that image of Christ that is pure and accurate and exemplifies his Son the way it is. Perhaps if it's not character, it might be endurance. If it's not endurance, it might be trust. If it's not trust, it might be patience or submission. It could be a number of things. And it's all done in the school of prayer. Because God will not grant you the answer you want immediately. He wants you to take you through a process. And that process will help you grow. So you go slow. Why? Because you want to develop as a believer, as a child of God. So if the request is wrong, God will say no. If the timing is wrong, God will say, go slow. It's not yet time. Or, the next one, if you are wrong, All right? If you are wrong, God will say you need to grow. And growing is a rather sobering statement. If you are wrong, what does it mean? What does it mean if you are wrong? I mean, isn't it easier to point the finger at God and saying that it's His problem? It's His problem that He's not answering my prayers? That's what we do. We blame it on God for not hearing our prayers, not answering our prayers, and we point at Him, but very few of us are willing to look in the mirror and ask the question, am I the problem? Am I the problem? Over the years that I have counseled people with this question, with this agony of unanswered prayer, only a handful have ever come to me honestly and suggested that they might be the problem. See, we don't like looking in the mirror. We don't like evaluating our own perspective and how we are dealing with our relationship with God. And we become, we don't want to deal with the fact that we might be an obstacle to the miracle that God has for us in our prayers. It's almost always, you explain to me why God isn't moving my mountain. Tell me why I'm not getting the answers I'm asking for. It's easier to point a finger of accusation at God than it is to look in the mirror and take a spiritual inventory of myself and say, maybe it's me that's causing the problem. Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, if I regard sin in my heart, in other words, if I'm leading a life of disobedience to God, the Lord will not hear my prayers. Simple as that. If there is sin, then don't expect God to answer your prayers. You have to deal with the sin. He confronts you on those issues. And He tells you that if you disregard the sin in your life, then don't have an expectation that I'm going to answer your prayers. You need to do something about it. Matthew 5:23-24 warns us that if there's relational discord, if there are private wars going on between people, if there are broken friendships, Jesus says it cuts us off from close fellowship with God. If you have problems with your brothers and sisters, then recognize and you must deal with those problems in order for your prayers to be heard by the Creator Himself. But we just, we sweep it under the carpet and we don't deal with it. You know, they sit on that side of the church, I sit on this side of the church, and there the twain shall meet. Well, we need to examine. Perhaps that's the reason God's not hearing our prayers. 1 Peter 3 tells us, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Grant them honor. Why? So that your prayers won't be hindered. Well, what about that? In our marriage relationship, husbands and wives. Husbands, if you do not live with your wives in an understanding way, then maybe that's why your prayers are being hindered. Now, wives don't think you're off the hook because you can interchange husbands and wives there. It can just as easily say, wives, live with your husbands in an understanding way. Honor them so that your prayers won't be hindered. All right? So together in your relationship as husband and wife, if there's discourse between you, if there are issues between you, then understand there will not be an opening to heaven to hear your prayers. Your prayers will be hindered. And we need to deal with that. And friends, we can't just come to church thinking that we put on our suits and our nice clothes and we look like everything is fine, and then we leave the place and inside the car, World War III starts. And continues until the next time you come to church. And I know that there are relationships like that. I know that there are marriages like that where there is constant fighting and bickering. and constant battles going on. Well, friends, don't expect God to hear your prayers if your relationship with your spouse needs to be dealt with. Because God is saying there's something wrong with you, deal with it, so that your prayers will not be hindered. You know, we point, you know, and this is what grabs me sometimes, is we get so angry with God that he doesn't answer our prayers, and we will not take the time to examine our own hearts. We will not look inside to see if the problem lies with me. If there's sin in my heart, it may not be marriage, it may be something else, there may be other issues, there may be the problem with alcohol, there may be the problem with gambling, there may be the problem with pornography, there may be problems at work, there may be problems with your neighbors, there may be sin of pride, and on and on and on and we go. If there is sin that you know about, then deal with it. Don't think that God doesn't know, that we can just carry on our spiritual life in the matter with these unconfessed sins. Because the scriptures tell us, if we disregard the sin in our hearts, then God doesn't hear our prayers. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, God doesn't hear your prayers either. You may be praying for a job. You may be praying for a health issue. You may be praying for money to pay your bills. You may be praying for, if you're not a believer, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, then no sense talking to God, because God does not hear you. There is not a relationship with you. The prayer that God hears is where you confess your sin and say, I cannot live without you. I can't live this life on my own. I have all these issues that I need help with dealing with. And you need to confess them to the Lord. Receive Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. And when you do that, God hears your prayers. And then from that point on, he continues to hear your prayers. But if you're not part of his family, it's like talking to a brick wall. That's as far as your prayers will go, until you recognize your need for a Savior and you ask him into your heart and become one of his. And he hears that prayer and he begins the journey, the spiritual journey that we are on together. In the book of James, he writes, the fervent prayer of a righteous person has great power. Great power. And that's what God desperately wants us to experience. That great power that comes through a relationship with him. So if you see, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says, well, go slow. If we're wrong, he says it's time for us to grow. Now, if the request is right, God says, let's go. And he answers those prayers. And he opens the heavens to us. And it's unbelievable when we experience that. And we've experienced that over the past few weeks and number of months. We've been praying for different individuals, different things as a church family. And it's such a great experience when we hear how God has answered our prayers. You know, we were praying for Amy and Liam, his brother, and we saw God at work in their life. And it does nothing but just gives us a real sense of excitement when we see and hear God answers prayer. Because that helps us with our prayers. Because he answered here, he will answer over here if the requests are right. And then he'll open up the heavens to us. And we'll experience in a great way, all that he has. And do we understand how badly God wants to do that for us? He desperately wants to answer our prayers. He desperately wants to hear our needs and be able to be the one who fulfills those needs. But he can't if we ask wrong requests, or if the timing is wrong, or if we are wrong. We need to do the work that's necessary in order to unleash the power that God has in store for us in this relationship that we have with him. And boy, what a beautiful place that is to be when we experience God's answered prayer. And that's a challenge that we have as we understand this whole aspect of the dilemma of unanswered prayer. We need to do some work in understanding why these prayers are going unanswered, and then do whatever is necessary in order to make that happen, because God is there. As we began earlier, it says the Bible says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. This is available to each and every one of us, not just to the spiritual few. It's open to everyone. And we need to have that confidence in prayer, knowing how important it is to have that as part of our life. 24/7. There's not a time that we can't pray. There's not a time we shouldn't pray. We should always be in an attitude of prayer. And we'll see and experience God in an incredible way as he opens heaven's gates for us. I'd like us to stand in closing and recite one of the prayers that Jesus used to teach his disciples. Let's stand together and say this prayer together and understand the significance of who we're praying to. So let's say it together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And that little word amen simply means, may it be so. That's the worship team now, if they'd come and lead us in our closing song.